Thank you very much. Then I will call to order our October 2nd Board of Directors meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. That was our call to order. If we'll do a roll call, please.
Director Ray Russom?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Lee?
I'm here as well, so if you would all please rise and join Director Ray Russom with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Would you please join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that Pledge of Allegiance. That'll take us into agenda review. So is there any member of the board that wants to change the order of the agenda? Seeing none, we will go ahead and proceed with the agenda as published, which takes us to public comments on items not appearing on the agenda. This is a time where any member of the public can speak on any item that's not on the agenda this evening. So is there anyone that wants to come forward and speak under public comment? Seeing no one come forward, we'll go ahead and close public comment, bring it back for our consent agenda. Anybody have any questions, comments on the consent agenda?
No, sir.
Okay. Very good. Does any member of the public want to speak on any item on the consent agenda? Seeing no one come forward, we'll bring it back for consideration.
I will move we approve the warrants and meeting minutes of September 4th, 2019, items 5A and 5B.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. I'm assuming this is a voice vote, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries, which takes us to items 6A, which is a contract for coastal hazard monitoring with RINCON Consultants. Mr. Gent.
Good evening. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. It's recommended that your board authorize the District Administrator to execute a contract for environmental monitoring services and professional engineering services with RINCON Consultants in the amount of $66,609. The item before you is a task that is required to satisfy a CDP condition, our coastal development permit condition. I believe it was condition number four that we had to develop a coastal hazards monitoring plan, and that effort was undertaken by ESA, a consultant out of the San Francisco Bay Area. And about a year and a half ago, that work was finalized, and so we have a coastal hazards monitoring plan. And so to implement that plan is the contract that's before you, which requires monitoring during certain conditions, rain events, flooding events, tidal conditions, and then periodically even a larger overview with some surveys and looking at the lagoon levels. And that was all conditioned as part of conditioning the redundancy project through the Coastal Commission. So this item will provide the first year's tasks, which is really getting the project up and running, but there will be a cost less than the contract before you're moving forward annually, maybe in the $25,000 a year, just ongoing effort, because we have annual reports that we have to file with both the Coastal Commission and the Regional Water Quality Control Board that this report satisfies. And with that ends my explanation for the item, and I'm happy to answer questions about the contract.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Is there any questions to my right?
Very briefly. So is the $25,000 roughly also budgeted for going forward?
Yeah, so that money is included in the annual operating budget for the redundancy project of roughly $1 million a year. After we build redundancy, our operational costs will be higher, and so that money is included in that
operational cost. That's my only question.
Thank you. Any questions?
That was my question, too. Could you repeat it again, what you explained that?
So our rate analysis looks at so Bartle Wells did a rate analysis to fund the redundancy project. And to fund the redundancy project, there's substantial capital costs to build it. When we talk about the $28 million project, that's the capital cost. But there's also built into the rate structure that we've adopted includes approximately $1 million a year in operational budgets ongoing, because just running the additional aeration basins and operating the additional equipment, and it includes the cost of an additional staff member, because we actually have to have more staff to operate all that equipment. So all that's built into the existing rates of that $1 million a year for anticipated operational costs moving forward. So this $25,000 annual effort on the coastal hazards monitoring would be included in that estimated $1 million operational cost.
Okay. Annually. I think that was all I had.
Very good. I just had one quick question, and Jeremy and I did speak about this before the meeting. Under item 2C, there was a post-qualifying rain event monitoring, and the proposal has 9 events. Can you just do a quick synopsis of what an event would be under this contract?
So currently, the plan requires that we survey the plant, and surveys its fixed points. Photograph the plant is probably a better word than survey the plant. During each rain event that exceeds half an inch in 24 hours. So at that point, 48 hours after that rain event, we have to have photographed, I believe it's 9 locations around the facility. And that just goes into our annual report. And they're looking for ponding or any type of flooding on the site in those photographs. And so that's what a rain event is. And so we've estimated there'll be 9, and that's based on history, how many half-inch rain events do you have in a rain year. And so 9 was the number that MKN came up with, and so that's what's in the contract before you. But it could be, the cost is captured there, but it could, there, if there were more rain events, we would have to have them come out and monitor. Long term, we've actually engaged with them that they would potentially train staff. This first year, we didn't necessarily want to deal with it. Moving into, as far as the photographing, we're going to be there. We're going to be on site. But rain events often keep us busy at the plant, and so we're not sure it's going to be compatible. But once we see what their work effort is, it is a role that maybe, I think that's around $1,300 each time they come out, and that's maybe a cost that we could recover. If it became simple enough for us to just, you know, make those 7 to 9 photos, and that's really all they're doing for that period.
Okay, very good. And so the contract is based upon those 9 events. If we have less than that, then there's obviously a savings to the contract, but there is some contingency built into your request in the event that either we have a extreme event or more than 9 events.
Correct. Yeah, there's also conditions, like, so if there's some extreme catastrophic that you wouldn't anticipate on an annual basis, there are requirements in our coastal hazards monitoring plan that would have us collect other data, and so those costs are captured in here, but that's not something that you expect to happen every year. It's a less frequent event.
Okay. Very good. Those were my only questions. Does any member of the public want to speak on this item? We'll go ahead and bring it back for consideration.
I'll make the motion that we authorize the district administrator to execute the contract for environmental monitoring services to Rincon Consultants in the amount of $66,609.
Second. God bless you.
Bless you. We have a motion. We have a second. Let's do a roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes. We have a consulting contract. So which that takes us to item 6B, which is County Schedule 15 for fiscal year 2019-2020. Mr. Jentz.
Yes, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. It's recommended that the board authorize the chair to sign Schedule 15, approving the auditor analyst's recommendation to increase the general purpose reserves by $205,945. The item before you is an annual effort that rectifies our accounts at the county, and the $205,945 represents the money that was not spent last year that we had budgeted last fiscal year in 18-19. So the request is really the county asking on their books how they track all special districts in the county, where our district would like them to show this money. So this leftover money, they've recommended reserves. We agree with that staff agrees with that recommendation. And so this is really authorizing them to show this leftover money on a different line in their budget that is now in the district's reserves. And so this is just a true up that we do annually. I did reach out to Brian Spaulding, the auditor analyst that sent out this letter, to make sure that I was understanding the task before us, and Amy had done the task previously. And so was able to figure out exactly what they were asking for and what was happening, and so this is the document. And so it's with the chair's signature that they will, move that item to budgeted money to reserve money.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Any questions to my left?
That was great.
To my right.
Thank you. You said left, but you looked right, so I got
it. You know, Charlotte, to my left.
Yeah, oh, no, that's great. Yeah.
Great. To my right. And good. I had no questions either, so any member of the public want to speak on this item? And seeing none, we'll go ahead and bring it back for consideration.
I'd like to move that we authorize the chair to sign Schedule 15, approving the auditor and analyst recommendation to increase the general purpose reserves by $205,945.
Second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Let's do a roll call, please.
Director Ray Bessem?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes. So that does pass as well, which takes us to item 6C, the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. So who's going to go first?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start, and we'll finish with Michael. So, good evening. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. I would like to mention that next month's agenda is looking like it's going to be pretty full. I've been working on a comprehensive update for the redundancy project. In addition to that update that will be in the first meeting in November, we'll also be bringing the CM Construction Management contract for a recommendation and approval, and then the MKN and the district staff have taken on an effort to do a comprehensive update to the schedule for the project, as the USDA funding effort has extended some items. We've gone back and taken a full look in conjunction with MKN. And we're currently negotiating fee and scope with M&S for the construction management. So we've actually utilized some of their team to take a look at the existing schedule. And so we're updating that, and I anticipate bringing that to your board at the November meeting as well, letting you know where we stand with the schedule and our best effort at updating the budget and where we are with the USDA funding, and an update on where we're at with municipal bonds and where the rates are for those. Moving on to Central Coast Blue. So city managers and district administrator, this says we'll meet the first week of October to continue discussions. But it was actually today. We met from 11 to 1 today at Pismo's offices. And so those efforts continue. We do, the project team is looking for some of the agencies to start moving forward with some rough memorandum of agreements, not rough, but just preliminary memorandum of agreements that would move the project through design. What has been presented is that the district's portions would still be worked out in the future, but largely moving the project through design would be with Grover and AG from this point forward, with Pismo having already contributed most of the funding to date. So there's a little bit of a handoff if the projects were to move forward. So that's the draft document that's being talked about, and so at a future date when that's finally ready and the other agencies are ready to move forward with that, that'll be brought back before your board for a presentation and discussion and potential approval. Let's see, did I get everything on Central Coast Blue? One item on September 20th, some of the Central Coast Blue design team came in and met with Michael and I about potentially some well injection water disposal through the wastewater treatment plant. We weren't able to, the amount of flow that they were asking to send to the treatment plant was substantial, and over about 1.5 million gallons a day of clean water. So we declined to take that water, as it was the outcome of that meeting. And so they're looking for other options for disposing of that. It could be sprayed on an ag field. There's other options for them to move forward with that project. Let's see. So some miscellaneous items. The county's flood control zone 1 and 1A project continues at the and they're sited at the Sand District right now. They had told us that they anticipate being out this week. But they haven't worked yet at all this week. They're going to be in tomorrow and Friday. They said they would be there to clean up the yard where they laid down. So that's went well. The project went fast. I believe the county even added a couple sites to that contractor. And so the district's excited to be able to partner in that and collaborate, because ultimately that flood control project benefits the district because of the reduced flooding hazard by allowing that to take place. On September 17th, staff conducted a kickoff meeting with Canon on the replacement of the primary clarifier drive unit. That's an effort that Michael's been working on with the Canon's design team, and so that design effort is underway. On September 2nd, the district transitioned to a new IT service provider. Our previous IT provider gave us 4 weeks' notice that they were going out of business, and so we were in a little bit of a scramble. And there's been a little bit of disruption, but I think it's settled down a little bit with the handoff and taking over email accounts and stuff with the new service. And so I think we're all back up and running, and we haven't lost internet connectivity in about a week. So that's going well. We received a public records request from Transparent California seeking names and salaries of all district employees, and Amy did comply with that public records request, and so that's been satisfied. It's exciting to say Moss Levy completed its review of the district's 18-19 financials. I've been at the district for 14 months. This is my fourth audit. And so we're
getting good at it.
Yeah, this is my first year of my books, so I've got no excuse on this one. Preliminary, they come in and sit down after the review. They said no significant findings. That'll obviously come back more formally to the board. They're thinking December, but we are caught up on district or on our audits, and we're no longer on the auditor's naughty list. They send out the nasty lists a couple times a year for the districts that are not current with their audits. Moving on, plant tours. I do have a correction. After I published this, Michael did let me know that Ms. Patricia Price stopped by the plant, and Michael was able to give her a tour. And so I didn't know about that till after the fact, but Ms. Price did tour the facility. And so upcoming items, the Central Coast Blue MOA, team is really steering that, whether that makes it on November 6th or not, but that is what they want right now, but there's still some negotiations and some hiccups with it. So I'm not sure about that November 6th date for the Central Coast Blue. Update to district purchasing policy, that will come before you on November 6th. That work's been done by Jones Meyer. We've updated it with the statutory changes that have come through, and cleaned up some other language in it, and so we'll be bringing that to your board. As I mentioned earlier on the redundancy item, a progress and schedule update, the contract for construction management for redundancy, and then district goals and priorities is a to-be-determined date at that point. And that concludes the administrator's report, and I'll hand it off to Mr. Jones for the plan operations report.
And actually, one moment, Mr. Jones, to see if there's any quick questions for Jeremy before we move to our operations report.
This might be the first time I don't have any.
Any questions?
No
Mr.
questions.
Mr. Jones.
All righty, good evening. This is the plan operations report, the report for September 1st through September 25th. The district did exceed its MPDS permit limit for fecal coliform bacteria on September 25th. Our limit's 2,000, our daily maximum limit's 2,000. We had a result of 2,400. Upon the observation, operation staff increased the chlorine dosage at the chlorine contact tank to lessen bacterial activity. The cause of the exceedance is an anomaly. There were no operational process changes or abnormalities observed during on the day of the exceedance. The facility maintained a chlorine residual the day of the violation, and previous fecal coliform results were well within permit limits, as you can see in that chart below, and then also following the violation, returned back to well within permit limits. The Regional Water Board the Regional Water Quality Board will be notified, and the district may be assessed a fine. Based on my interpretation of the State Water Resources Control Board water quality enforcement policy, I don't believe we will be assessed a fine. This is our first violation this year. I was really hoping for a perfect year. Operations staff handled it Well, all of the process values are well within our permit limits. moving on, just operation and maintenance projects. We did install our new disinfection system. We're still kind of tuning that and optimizing that. We had JPR systems come in. They performed commissioning. And as part of that commissioning, we extended our warranty 3 years. So that's nice. Some training, or operations staff completed a multitude of work orders. Operations training-wise, operations staff attended a two-day arc flash training course held by the city of Pismo. There were no call-outs this reporting period. And so now I just want to move on to energy consumption comparison. At our September 4th, 2019 board meeting, the board requested a comparison of energy consumption between the billing cycles, July-August 2018 and July-August 2019. In the above energy usage comparison chart between 2018 and 2019, energy usage increased 12% in 2019, resulting in an energy charge increase of 11%. There are multiple variables that contribute to the increase in energy consumption and subsequent energy charges that are shown in the influent flow and constituent comparison chart above. During the July-August 2019 billing cycle, the district's wastewater treatment plant received a 7.5% increase in flow. The 200,000 gallons per day increase in flow resulted in more pumping needs, which was a contributor to the overall energy consumption. In addition, the district's wastewater treatment plant received an increase in influent biochemical oxygen demand concentration of 30% and total suspended solids concentration of 32%. Due to the increase in influent BOD and TSS, the wastewater treatment plant began seeing an increase in effluent TSS. To reduce the effluent TSS concentrations, operations staff began flushing the fixed film reactor more often and drained and rinsed the contact tank. When effluent TSS concentrations continued to rise, so in order to mitigate that continued rise, operations staff raised the output of the fixed film reactor feed pumps. Increasing the fixed film reactor feed pumps was the major contributing factor to the rise in energy usage. Additionally, operations staff have been using the centrifuge more frequently during the summer months, which is also a minor contributing factor. I just want to kind of stress that, like, our operations staff goal is to protect the public, protect the environment, maintain permit compliance, and produce the highest quality effluent at the lowest cost to the district. Sometimes certain circumstances challenge this goal, and in this case, operations staff made an operational decision to increase the fixed film reactor feed pumps to continue to achieve that goal. There were no permit violations during the billing cycle, and operations staff have returned to returned the fixed film reactor pumps to normal speeds. Just one additional item. I wanted to, the district made a purchase as part of our primary clarifier rehab and control box valve replacement project. The district's to purchase a valve. We were notified on Monday that the valve was in stock. And we could receive the valve in 2 weeks. And to expedite that purchase, I reached out to Chairman Hill. Chairman Lee, sorry. I am so sorry. Chairman Lee, pursuant to the district's purchasing policy, I believe it's Resolution 2016-353, to expedite purchases, we can seek the chairman's approval for that purchase. So I just wanted to notify the board and the public that we, pursuant to that resolution, we made a purchase of the valve, and it was $35,861.18. And that concludes my report, and I can answer any questions.
And thank you, Mr. Jones, for that report. Just to give the other board members a kind of a contextual reason for the request is typically that piece of equipment has, what, about a 16 or 18-week lead time?
Yes.
Which would have pushed that project into redundancy, most likely. And so it was already a budgeted request. So basically the request by staff was to have me expedite that that payment. It's not costing us anything more or anything less, but I did want the board to know that that was the decision that we made, and it's moving forward, and it'll keep that project on track. So thank you for that.
Correct. Yeah, and as Michael pointed out, it was in compliance with the district's adopted purchasing policy 2.5B1A that up to 40 purchases up to 45,000 that exceed my authority of 25,000 can be expedited and approved in conjunction with the chair of the board. So we exercise that authority in the purchasing policy to save 16 weeks off the course of getting the valve.
Thank you for the clarification on the July energy use too.
Okay. No problem.
Any other questions of Mr. Jones or Mr. Gent?
Yes, thank you.
Any members of the public want to speak on this item? Please come forward.
Patricia Price, Cerro Grande. I wanted to thank Michael for the tour that he gave a couple of weeks ago. It was really, really informative and very, very interesting. It was obvious to me you really know your stuff, Michael, and I really appreciate it. I learned a lot. And thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. Appreciate that. So seeing no other members of the public here to speak, we'll go ahead and close that item. And that takes us to miscellaneous items, noting that our next meeting is not here. It's actually in the Grover Beach City Council Chambers. But any other items, Mr. Gent?
That's the only miscellaneous item. Just to remind the public that our next meeting will be at the Grover Beach Council Chambers.
Very good. Any other miscellaneous items here?
Oh.
Very good. Any board member communications? Very good. Then we will go ahead and adjourn this meeting. So then that'll take us to, as my computer comes up, is we do have a special meeting that was called for this evening.
We do?
Correct. We do.
That's news to me.
We do. And so the notice went out yesterday. And it really is it's a special meeting that's taking the place of closed session. So this error is, I can only place it on myself, but my foresight did not anticipate being able to bring news. This is in regards to the negotiations with SEIU 620. On Monday of this week, we met and we made our last counter proposal, and they were actually able to get all the members for lunch during the same day after we had met, and they were able to meet and came back with an agreement that I would like to, or a potential offer that I would like to share with the board. And so through that, and because of the timeliness nature of trying to move that forward, I reached out to Gil to explore options to move that forward this week and get on the agenda this week. And so we sent out the notice of the special meeting, but it's really just taking the place of what would be a closed session item after today's regular meeting. It was properly noticed per the Brown Act, and it will be entirely a closed session item.
So with that as...
Oh, we're going into closed session.
Yes. So with that as context, are board members okay with proceeding with the special meeting?
Sure.
And I'll ask Mr. Trujillo to indicate if estimated time to be 7 p.m. Do we need to wait until 7, or is 6:30 an estimated close enough to 7?
I believe that it's substantially in compliance. And if someone is here at the end of the meeting for the announcement and they wish to address the board on the closed session item, then I would allow them to do so.
Okay. We'd be happy to do that. So with that, then I will go ahead and call to order a special meeting with an agenda and a closed session. So on this October 2nd, and so we'll do another roll call, please.
Director A. Russum?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here as well. So so before we do public comment and on the closed session item, I'll have Mr. Trujillo announce the closed session, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board will hold a closed session to confirm with labor negotiators, agency designated representative Jeremy Gant and Alicia Lara,
employee organization, SEIU.
Very good. Thank you for that announcement. Is there any member of the public that wants to speak on this item? If none, then we will recess to closed session.